I'm Hannah Cooperman.
I'm Catherine Orchard.
And I'm Hannah van der Vesthazen.
And we are
the Fuckboy Podcast.
Hot summer evening.
Hot.
Yeah, good. I'm not built for heat. I'm not.
You know.
I'm built for...
You are.
Are you joking?
Oh my God. In Portugal, you were like...
Oh yeah, but that was because I just did nothing.
Yeah, this is
true.
I just
lay around and read all day.
Oh, I love the heat.
I love.
Do you know what it is? I am such a... Okay, so I had a teacher at Drama Centre who said that you apparently have a lot of collagen if you sweat a lot.
Oh, yeah, I sweat a lot.
Yeah, I'm really sweaty. Well, that apparently means that you won't get wrinkles. So cons, profusely sweating. Pros, going to look fantastic at 50.
Does it depend where you sweat?
Because yes,
that means I have my face.
I don't.
Very youthful armpits.
Yeah, I've got youthful armpits, but really aged, haggard face. Because I never sweat from my face, really. Maybe I'll get a sole, but...
I always get a shula.
A shula.
Sweaty upper lip.
Not shula, a sula. Where's the H?
I was like,
I thought it might be like sweaty, hot upper lip.
Yeah, okay.
Shula.
I've just only ever heard people call them shulas.
Oh.
Ooh, what letter are we missing
I'm
out?
I'm pretty
what
sure.
Word, not letter.
That in Wild Child it's shula.
Maybe. Do you know what it is?
Wild.
Maybe a sweaty, hairy upper lip.
Alert. I think that's
from Angus Songs and Full Frontal Snogging.
I think it's from Angus Songs.
Oh, I'm sure it's
that
from Wild Child.
That is also in Wild Child.
Because she's like, you've got a shula. And it's like a...
And then maybe in Angus Thongs and Full Friends Snogging, it's a shula.
Who does like a dance?
Oh, Sven. Big Fish, Little Fish, Cardboard Box in Angus Thongs.
What I was thinking of.
Are you thinking of
but
Sven?
Maybe it was.
Sven in the books would always dance.
Maybe it's Sven. How fucking good were those books?
I love those books so much.
Yeah, very good. But
I've never watched the film, weirdly.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Never in my life.
Oh, well, I mean... Good film. Good film.
No comment.
Definitely didn't have a 3-year-long relationship with someone in that film.
Anyway,
we're diving on. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. This was a thing that has been crossing my mind kind of nonstop since yesterday. Mm-hmm. I messaged Kath about this because I was so disturbed by it. I was watching Mae Martin's stand-up.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah, it is disturbing.
And they are wearing
a
grey T-shirt
for
a half an hour set. And I was honestly distracted the whole time. They are so funny. But throughout the entire thing, I just kept going, it would be a swimming pool for me. And you would see it light grey.
Wow, a light grey rolled T-shirt. Phenomenal.
The bravery. Yeah. Astounding.
Yeah. And? Did they appear?
Not a patch. Not a drop.
Not a single drop.
Honestly.
You know you can like get Botox in your armpit so that they don't sweat. Is it Botox? Probably isn't Botox.
Apparently you sweat elsewhere.
Oh, what? So it just goes...
Well, push the collagen up to this old face up here.
Or like you've suddenly got really sweaty shoulders.
Yeah.
Oh, God. How disgusting is it when people have sweaty backs?
Mine.
I mean, I do get a sweaty back. I'm not going to pretend I don't.
No, I just sweat.
But just other people's sweaty backs.
Yeah. I'm like, how are my legs?
My legs,
my knees are Niagara Falls.
It's a slip and slide down there.
I was actually embarrassed today sitting outside. I was like, someone's going to see the sweat just dripping down my leg.
Oh, this is the hot girl summer we've been waiting for, isn't it, guys?
Just constantly moist.
Yeah. They're out. Yeah, not in the way that we anticipated.
They didn't tell us how it would be hot.
Speaking of moist. Shall we cheers?
Very nice looking shots we have here, but I am scared.
Enormous shots of vodka with ice and lemon.
These look like Turkish apple tea glasses.
Yeah, I think they kind of are.
They're just delectable.
I think they're from Japan. My mum gave them to me.
They're so lovely.
Me and vodka go back to making some serious bad mistakes, I'm quite nervous of what's going to come up when I start sipping upon...
Embrace the vodka. Embrace Russia.
Embrace Russia.
To Russia.
Prost. Okay. Ah, tastes like...
Oh, did you put lemon in it?
Regret.
Yeah. Actually pretty good.
That's absolutely delicious.
Yeah,
I'm so glad.
That's
so much better than I thought.
I had a very small amount of vodka.
It's still, you've still got quite a lot.
I've still got some.
That's good.
I was like, what's the word for a bit of?
A bit of, otherwise known as some.
I'm going to have another sip. Watch me.
That is absolutely delicious. That is my perfect cocktail, that.
Oh my gosh, have I ever told you about when I got taken to a Russian spa?
No.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe I haven't told you this story. It's so good. Okay, oh, this is brilliant. So I had an ex-boyfriend, a lovely ex-boyfriend, if he's listening. Thank you so much, just purely for this experience. I was having a bit of a, like, I think I was just quite stressed. I was doing a play at the time. And also, I think I'd got Winks at the time. And he was like, I know what I can do to celebrate.
Oh my God, I can't wait.
Yeah, and he was like, I'm not going to tell you where we're going. I'm not going to tell you anything. He went back to my family home, even though it was about an hour away, to pick up a swimming costume from my mum and went back to then meet me in central London. So he did like a 2-hour long trip to go and get me a swimming costume.
Oh my God, he was very obsessed.
Sweet. I know. That's more like it.
Yeah, yes. That's what we want to see. Settle for no less.
Settle for no less.
And we're walking down, I think it was somewhere in East London, I can't really remember now. And we walk in, and I was like, where the fuck are we? And it's this really, like, dodgy-looking spa from the outside. And I was like, oh, my gosh, have you paid for, like, a happy ending? What on earth is going on? And we go inside, and no one speaks English. Everyone's speaking Russian. And he hands me my swimming costume. And I'm like, what are we doing? And we get in, shot of vodka straight into your hand from the off. He's like, okay, we're going to go off and... people are just shoving you around in Russian. First thing that happened to me was they stuck me under I didn't realise that it was like a big bucket, and they pulled a lever and freezing cold ice water went over me. I was like, what the hell is going on? And then they like covered me in mud from head to toe, just scrubbing it, rubbing it in my hair. Ooh. I was like so utterly confused as to what was going on. Then they took me into a massive sauna. A man was like, lie. And I was like, oh my God. And there were other people in the sauna, sat there. I lie down, but like on my face is on the, like, on the hot wood. And he grabs two massive bundles of leaves, sticks them in cold water and starts beating the shit out of me. Just beating me relentlessly. And then he goes, okay. And I'm like, yes. I'm having a dreadful time. I've never been more stressed than I am in this moment, being whipped to my death in front of a bunch of Russian people just sat there watching me. And it went on. I honestly thought I was going to pass out because it was so hot in the sauna as well. Finally ended. And then they took me to this massive... all I can describe it as is imagine like a wooden bucket, but then times it by like 100. It was like a massive wooden bucket. It wasn't a jacuzzi. It was a bucket of water with ice in it.
Oh no.
And then I think they baptized me. I'm not entirely sure. But my ex came out and saw me in it, and I just was like shaking my head and I went, no, they shot me out. But then they gave me more vodka and I felt fantastic. Honestly, never felt better.
So I bet, yeah, in the moment you were like, this is absolute hell. And then you go out and you're like, I am a new woman.
I felt incredible.
Guys, we have to go.
I'll find out what the name of it was because it was iconic.
So I think I know who you're talking about because there was someone I know is very good friends with this person.
Yeah. Yes.
When we were doing Chekhov at Lambda,
mm-hmm.
this guy in my ear is like... I'm taking it really seriously.
Oh, no.
So he comes in on Monday and he's like, guys, I need to tell you about my weekend.
Yes.
He's like, I went to this Russian spa. His mum had paid for him to go to this Russian spa. She was like, you chucked me in ice. They were giving me vodka. They like whacked me. Basically just gave that exact same story.
Amazing.
And
iconic.
He did the whole thing to just like get into the Russian character.
Who was he playing?
Oh, I have no idea. I cannot remember.
Yes, one of the many syllabled characters.
Yes, exactly. And he was so proud of himself and was like, oh my God, it's the best thing ever.
Did he help?
I mean, like...
As much as...
How much can that actually help?
You could also just do a shot of vodka, get naked, and run through Hampstead Heath. Same thing. Thwacked by leaves.
I think there's
someone will shout at you
and then right? jump in the pond.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That ex had just been filming in Russia, Catherine the Great.
So I mean, all the connections.
As in Catherine the Great or the Great? Which
as
one?
In the Great,
Catherine
yeah.
the Great. Yes.
So he was being like, the Russian people are incredible. He was like, it's my favourite place I've ever been, and he's been
I can
everywhere.
See that.
So I think we're in
trip to Russia, guys.
Yeah, definitely. Yes. Mm. But I think we're in safe hands, truly, today, for this.
Oh, I don't to Russia. But I did study the Tsars.
Oh, that's
Tsars,
good.
Tsars in history. Mm-hmm. For GCSE. Did you guys do that? Did you study this? The Russian Empire?
I didn't take history beyond a very young age.
What, you could quit history?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, quit history at about 12, I think.
Oh, my God. I didn't know you could do that.
Terrible idea.
I thought you would love history.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Not at 12, though.
Not at 12.
Not at 12.
I had other
That's
ambitions.
Why we don't make decisions, big life decisions, that early on.
Yes.
Before your brain is fully developed, ideally.
Did you study the...
Do you know what, Hanako? I could have... But I couldn't tell you. I drank a lot when I was 17, and I think I've forgotten a lot of what I studied in history.
Yes. Yeah.
I just kind of remember studying the Tudors relentlessly,
I feel
endlessly.
Like it was always
throughout
the Tudors.
Prep schools, just Tudors.
Yeah. And maybe a bit of ancient Egypt.
Sprinkling of Aztecs.
Yes.
And the Roman waterway system.
Yes, and the...
Did you do that one?
Really?
Oh, I was thinking the big horse.
Lots
the
of World
horse.
War II.
Lots
of World War II.
Lest we forget. Yeah,
endless World War II.
And a bit of World War One. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. No, to be fair, I do know that we studied World War II because we went to Germany.
Yes.
To Germany or to Ypres?
I went to Ypres. Did you go to Ypres?
Yeah. Bus left at like 4 in the morning.
Oh my God, I loved it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Cried like a little fish.
Did you? See, yeah. I was just too dumb and young to realise the gravity.
I think I cried in a way, I didn't really understand it, but I just think everyone was crying and I was like, this is my moment.
I can act.
I'm so emotional.
Were you like 14?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh God, we were very naughty on that trip.
Were you?
Yeah, it's horrifying. Like being really inappropriate, like taking photos in like the most inappropriate places.
Isn't it awful?
It's like, I look back on my Facebook and I'm like, wow, you are a fool.
It's so embarrassing. And I imagine for the teachers, it must be so excruciating as well, because they're like, oh, one day you're going to look back and feel really embarrassed about the fact that you've done this.
Yeah.
Yikes.
But we were kids.
We were.
Yeah. And we learn. We live, we learn.
We live, we learn. And
we do.
But we went to Berlin and...
Oh, wow.
And we snuck out. Yeah, we snuck out and the teachers never knew. It was all very dramatic.
Oh, my God, what did you do?
That's so fun.
We went to a club.
Shut up. Yeah. How old were you?
Oh, we must have been like... Oh, no, mind you, I was 16 and everyone else was 17 because of when I'm born. And I just remember, like, obviously everything went wrong because that's what happens when you're doing breaking the rules. Like, you go on a normal night out, nothing goes wrong. But, like, I think someone was sick and, like, someone got into a fight. All a bunch of really posh girls out in Berlin. It was dangerous territory. But that's how I know that I definitely studied World War II because I did some drinking in Berlin underage.
Okay, well, I don't remember anything about the fall of the Russian Empire at all. But the one thing that I do remember is Rasputin.
Oh, I'm so excited because I know nothing.
So I didn't really remember anything, but there are a few bits that I did recall.
That would like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mainly just like the image of him is so startling. Really? I will show you a picture of him later.
Exciting. Stick it on the gram.
I will. Okay, so I'm just going to mention some sources. So I went to allthat'sinteresting.com, which is an amazing website. Wikipedia, another amazing website.
Yeah.
The Most Notorious True Crime History Podcast with Douglas Smith, locallife.com, and good old Cliff Notes.
Oh, we love.
Can't beat Spark Notes, Cliff Notes, No Fear Shakespeare.
Yeah.
God bless.
All of the above.
Yeah. Got me a degree.
Thank you.
Yeah, truly.
Truly.
Yeah. Got me through my GCSEs. So... Grigory Yefimovich Rasputin.
Wow, honestly, can I just say, from the off, well done.
Thank you.
And good luck.
Yes, yeah, I mean, that's an easy one. Was born January 21st, 1869. Does that make him a Capricorn?
January the 21st?
Yeah.
That is Aquarius Capricorn
Ooh.
Cusp.
Ooh.
It is the dawning of the age of...
I think it's just Capricorn, though.
A devilish pairing.
Oh, so it's not Aquarius, it's Capricorn.
I think it's Capricorn, but the Capricorn-Aquarius cusp.
Mm.
Ooh.
I was in a long-term relationship with Capricorn, and it was pretty stressful, to say the least.
Really stressful.
So, if you get a bad Capricorn, it can be a bit of a nightmare.
I always think of Do you know who Benny Drama is on Instagram?
Yes, no. He's impressive. The videos, yeah.
Yeah, it's very on point. We'll put that on the gram as well.
We'll put that on the gram.
Truly.
So good. Psychotic. Benny Dramas, oh my God.
Is.
Oh my God, their videos are actually incredible.
So good, like, so funny. Just,
there's one for every sign of the zodiac, yeah. And they're just fucking
brilliant.
Seen
the Virgo one?
Yeah,
I was like offended.
The Taurus
offended,
one
but
as
also
well.
Like seen.
Seen.
Yeah, the Taurus one is seen. Like,
is it? Oh my God, the Aries one as well.
Yeah,
I'm bored. Every time it's like I'm bored. So good.
So true.
Okay, so he's a Capricorn. He grew up as a peasant in the small village of Pokrovskoye, along the
it's amazing.
Thank you. I've been practicing along the Tura River in Siberia. Oh my God, I'm getting a shula, guys.
Oh, you're getting a shula. It's the stress of
Putin.
Oh, it has this effect on women.
Getting you hot under the
really
collar.
Does. Yeah. It's shocking.
He's coming back.
It's like the ghost of Henry VIII yeah. tried to behead me, and the ghost of Rasputin is trying to fuck you.
He's trying to fuck me. He's trying to fuck me. Okay, so his early life was very cloaked in mystery, but we do know that he had six siblings, all of which died at a young age.
Wow.
And Rasputin was the only one to survive.
Wow.
He lived a peasant life. So think agriculture, cold winters, lots of darning of old socks, that kind of thing. He was illiterate. He wasn't formally educated.
Oh.
And as he grew older, he turned into your typical teenager, drinking, stealing horses.
Going to bars at night in Berlin when he shouldn't be.
Exactly. And there are local records in Pokrovskoye that say he was reprimanded for swearing at the local mayor. So he's a bit of a bad boy, but nothing too outrageous. Just your typical 19th century teenage antics.
Yes.
Then in 1886, so when he's 17... he begins going on small pilgrimages to churches and holy places. And on one of these religious jaunts, he meets a young peasant woman called Praskovia Dubrovina.
Honestly, Hanako, well done. Bloody hell. Even if that is wrong, just 10 out of 10 for effort.
Perfect. Thank you.
Amazing.
I even rolled my R's.
I can't roll my R's. And it's a real point of contention.
Were you about to try?
Yeah, like...
Guys, I'm going to take my dress off.
Go for it.
She's sweating.
I need to practice rolling my R's anyway, so... That's about as far as I can get.
Oh my God, that's so cute.
No, but honestly, when I say that is years in the making. Like, I have tried for so long.
You're engaging your diaphragm, right, honey?
Oh, that was a little bit more aggressive with the diaphragm engagement.
Yeah, it's all about that diaphragm.
Yeah, that I don't know what I was saying, but that was a
you're
bit more in
there.
Give us another. When I was younger, I did Spanish.
Spanish.
And I did for hours until I could roll my ass.
Wow. I'll get back to you next week. I'm going to practice this week going rah, 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 and see what happens.
I want a voice note every day.
Okay.
Rah, 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 Russian Greek.
Exactly. Anyway.
Okay, well,
we digress.
Great. Just sitting here in my bra and pants now.
Wonderful.
Too hot.
Rasputin is working on you.
He really is working his magic from beyond the grave.
He's literally got you in your undies.
Oh, my undies. My undies. Masturbating.
Oh, God. No, not on the book. I'll start again.
Sorry, guys.
Are we?
In the gutter already.
Okay, so he married Praskovia Dubrovina. Not long after meeting, and they have seven children, but only three survive.
Wow.
There's not loads on his wife, surprise, surprise, but Douglas Smith, who wrote an extensive account of Rasputin's life, which I have not read, described Praskovia as a long-suffering woman.
Oh, honey.
I know. And she was actually eventually sent off to the Gulag after the fall of the Empire, which was the name for the various forced labour and internment camps under Lenin and then Stalinist Russia.
Fuck!
Yeah. So a bit about these gulags, because it's really interesting. The work in these internment camps were often so grueling that the prisoners would purposefully cut their hands with axes or place their arms in wood stoves and burn themselves to avoid having to do the back-breaking work.
Oh my God.
Many workers died from exhaustion, while others were physically assaulted or shot by camp guards.
Fucking hell.
Yeah. So basically Rasputin's wife was sent to hell. And unfortunately, that's pretty much all we know about her, other than the fact that she was loyal to her dreadful husband to the end.
That's what we should have named this podcast. Suffering women.
Long-suffering women.
Long-suffering women.
Yeah.
And the F-boys that got them there.
Yeah. So, let's get into Rasputin's spiritual fuckboy antics.
Yes, let's.
In his late 20s, after Rasputin is deep in provincial married life with his three young children, he claims to have had a vision of the Virgin Mary.
I can't deal with this guy.
This is his excuse to start venturing on these hardcore pilgrimages across Russia. Which means he leaves his wife and children and literally wanders around the Russian Empire. There are actually around 1 million of these pilgrims.
What?
What?
So at the time, aka absent fathers and husbands.
So can I just check, like, when they're just roaming around Russia, what the hell are they doing?
Yeah. Okay, so they would walk from church to church in search of enlightenment or what have you. So often in rags, they were barefoot, they put chains on them to make the walk harder as a way of, like, repentance to God.
Okay.
Rasputin would later talk about how he was often humiliated by the well-off, robbed and beaten on these trips. But on these religious jaunts, he gained literacy through learning the scriptures, and he combined it with popular language that made his retelling of the scriptures more accessible.
Oh, okay.
He's smart. Like a portable, hip Bible.
Bringing the Bible to you, baby.
Yeah, exactly. Before we get into all of his antics, let's just paint a picture of this guy for those who haven't had the privilege of seeing a photo of this long-haired lunatic.
Oh my God, I cannot wait.
Long-haired lunatic!
Exhibit A.
That's a strong middle part.
I don't feel like there should be a picture of him that good. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In my head, this should be ancient history. Yeah. It's actually not that fucking long ago.
And I kind of wish it was, so I didn't have to look at that photo.
Yeah, it's wild that there is a photo.
Wild.
A painting.
His hair.
And the fact that he's just like tugging at his beard like that.
Oh.
Just fiddling with the end of that beard.
He's clearly never heard of shampoo.
Okay, what would you rather, I don't know, like lose... Oh, gosh. Have to run, like, 10 marathons back to back or stick your face in his beard and sniff and inhale strongly once.
I think the latter because I hate running.
Okay,
hate running. That would take me a year.
Yeah, I think I'd die on the way.
Imagine the smell of his beard.
Yeah. Oh, well, disgusting. I'm going to get to the smell.
Oh, no!
Just you wait.
Of course.
So, okay, to paint a picture for the listeners, because you can't see these photos, he was above average height, tall. He was skinny, gangly guy.
You get away with so much if you're tall. Like,
right?
I know. Really do.
I know. Followed a rigid diet. Wiry. Apparently he had an electricity to his movements.
I know so many Rasputins.
So many.
Fucking hell. Mm.
Long, straggly hair. The beard. Greenish grey eyes that were deep set in his skull.
Right.
And he was famous for his penetrating gaze.
But it's not the gaze.
No, and he definitely cultivated and practiced it in front of the mirror in order to lure people in and assert his power.
Ew.
He knew it was a thing, so he really practiced and worked on it.
Did he do, like, candle gazing or some shit?
Yeah, probably.
Gross.
So, he always appeared to be shaggy, and he constantly attributed his poor hygiene to be instrumental to his holiness. Which, like,
because cleanliness is close.
Yeah, so much for cleanliness is next to holiness. No, not according to Rasputin.
Wow.
A man he encountered at court also described him to smell like a goat. His breath smelled foul.
That's so rude to goats.
I know, right?
Yeah, harsh.
A lot of people were also appalled by his unhygienic appearance, and many described him to have teeth like blackened stumps.
Oh, fucking hell.
Yikes.
So this guy, he's towering over you, he stinks like a goat, he's probably got some pickled herring trapped in his long, wiry beard. He's staring at you non-stop with his penetrating gaze. He opens his mouth to preach at you, and you're hit with a stinky breath, and then you spy a set of black, stumpy teeth sticking out of his little dry mouth.
Oh, his little dry mouth.
So vile.
How the fuck did this guy become an actual sex icon?
And this is the thing with spiritual fuckboys, I guess.
Yeah.
Is that, like, all of those things are like, that's not of importance. Like, the only thing of importance is me and my penis. You really are gaslighting people to the high heavens.
Oh, yeah.
To make that attractive.
People were obsessed with his penis.
Oh, God.
I'll get to that later, though.
Okay.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So at some point, he befriends the Romanovs, specifically Tsar Nicholas II and Alexandra, his wife, the Empress.
Mm-hmm.
As the rulers of Russia, they were both pretty uninterested in a typical aristocratic life, and Alexandra specifically was really interested in spirituality and mysticism. So before Rasputin was on the scene, there was another spiritual fuckboy that Alexandra became enthralled with. He was a French mystic called Monsieur Philippe, a self-professed mystic and mesmerizer.
Mesmerizer? What does that
what
mean?
What the fuck is a mesmerizer?
I have no idea.
That was his job title.
And then look into my eyes, look into my eyes, look away from my eyes.
Can you imagine?
Maybe it's like a bit like hypnotist.
Yeah,
maybe.
Mesmerizer.
Imagine that being your job.
Imagine that on the top of your CV. Kath Orchard, mesmerizer.
You are a bit of a mesmerizer.
You are a mesmerizer. Ooh, that rings.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are.
Put that in my Instagram bio.
See that for you.
So Monsieur Philippe was invited to Russia and he was presented at court and he was immediately taken in by the Emperor and Empress. He'd visit them daily, talking about his visions.
He'd mesmerize them.
He'd give them political advice. He essentially became advisor to the Russian Empire.
Wow.
And he even claimed to have mystical abilities that would help Alexandra give birth to a baby boy.
That's not true.
Oh, that's so, so unfair.
I'm thinking yoni massages.
Yeah.
I'm thinking long fingernails. Yeah. It's not good, is it?
No.
As the Empress of Russia, her one job was to give birth to an heir. And females were not allowed. And she gave birth to 4 daughters in a row.
You weren't allowed to give birth to a female?
No, you were. They couldn't inherit the throne.
Oh, I see. I thought you meant like you wouldn't...
They were killed. No.
No.
No. No, they weren't killed. Because think like Anastasia and...
She had those
4 girls. Yeah, but obviously giving birth at the time was such an extreme thing in and of itself. I mean, it still is. Yeah. But back in those days, it was like, you know, you could... die very, very, very easily.
Yeah.
And so she'd already had 4, but they were all girls. So that it was, people were getting really worried that she wasn't going to be able to provide a male heir.
Yeah.
Monsieur Philippe said that with his abilities as a mystic, he would be able to produce a male heir in Alexandra.
He's got a 50-50 chance there.
Yeah, he does. Right? That's a pretty good...
That's so true. I didn't think about that.
Which isn't actually that bad considering he's just... bullshitting his way through. Anyway, he's probably these are the highest. I've already got into the palace. He probably buys it.
Yeah. And obviously whispers across court started that the Emperor and Empress had fallen under his spell and they were forced to send him back to France. But before he left, he reassured them that a new friend would come to court to replace him.
Oh, wow.
And not long after, the prophecy comes true and Rasputin arrives on the scene in St. Petersburg. Very quickly. They are super into him. And he quickly takes up the role of royal advisor and healer.
Quote, unquote,
healer. Oh, fucking hell.
Oh, no.
That's a red flag.
No.
Also, like, can we stop getting these random dudes off the street to be political advisors?
Yeah,
like, they have no knowledge.
To be fair, that's, like, literally the monarchy.
Yeah, well.
Well, exactly.
Like, random people.
Stop it.
Yeah, stop it.
Stop it.
Yeah, this is true.
So Alexandra actually does eventually give birth to a boy called Alexei, but he's born a haemophiliac. Haemophilia is a disease where if you bleed, you cannot stop.
Oh my god,
I've heard this story.
Okay, so his body doesn't scab or clot.
Can I just ask, how does one figure that out?
Oh.
Because of the first time you get cut.
Interesting.
Ooh.
I don't know. Good question.
That's a very good question.
But I mean, you can literally bleed to death.
Yeah.
And it was inherited from his mother's side, which was a whole drama because she was German. So they were like giving her shit for being a German haemophiliac. And felt so guilty.
What long suffering.
Like, no wonder she went to Rasputin because he was probably all kind of, you know.
Being like, how was your day?
Yeah. Asking her how she is. And
how do you feel about that?
Not being xenophobic.
Yeah. Doesn't take much when the bar's in hell.
Right.
Yeah. God.
So when Alexei's 3, he falls and starts bleeding beneath the skin. And it swells and bloats and he's in so much pain. And it's looking really unlikely that he will survive. Alexandra's freaking out. She calls for Rasputin, who tells the doctors to bugger off. He calms the boy down and the bleeding stops.
Stop it.
Yeah. Obviously, they took this to be a miracle. And... maybe it was. Or maybe there's something to be said of the mind-body connection, whereby lowering mental stress, the stress in your body is also lowered.
Yes, your heart's not beating
pumping it out. Yeah.
Madly.
There's been loads of studies on that, but most historians believe that Rasputin was, like, tapping into that. Less stress on the mind, less stress on the body.
Yeah.
I wonder what percentage of historians are like, he was just a goddamn miracle worker.
Can you imagine back then? It would be.
Really would be.
It would be insane.
Especially to the royal family and all the, like, what premonitions that come before that.
Yeah.
Yeah. People tell me ghost stories and they sound totally unreasonable and I'll believe them. Oh. So never mind that.
Yeah, can you imagine actually seeing it happen before your eyes?
Oh, God, yeah.
And to your son, your only son, God, who is the heir of Russia. Yeah. Fuck.
Imagine being the heir of Russia.
Yeah, no
oh
thanks.
Oh, my God.
Mm-mm. Thanks, but no thanks.
Mm-mm. Didn't go well.
No. It does not go well.
Spoiler.
Yeah, spoiler warning.
As always.
So, obviously, most people believed he was touched by God.
Sure.
In fact, they believed that Rasputin's touch was holy. To be touched by him was to be touched by God. And he very swiftly found himself a close following of women.
Shocker.
Here they are in this photo. Look at that.
Oh gosh, there's a lot
fucking
of them.
Fucking hell, always surrounded women, by it? Fucking
Look
women.
Look at that woman that's just knelt by his feet.
She's clutching fucking her hell. Heart, isn't she?
Yeah, she's clutching her heart.
Wrong side, honey.
No, I think she's clutching her breast.
Oh God.
She's stroking her nipple.
Getting ready for the orgies later.
Oh my word.
Yeah, so it was a cult following of wealthy, aristocratic women, young and old, maidens and matrons. They were throwing themselves at him.
Wow.
And what do you do when you have a gaggle of female followers but nowhere to touch them? You get yourself set up an apartment in St. Petersburg.
Oh, nowhere to touch. I thought you meant like on the body. I was like, there are many.
Oh, no.
Erogenous
no.
zones.
Oh, I mean.
Monica says there's seven.
Monica says there are seven.
Yeah, do you not remember where she's like, 1, 2, 3. And then she does this isn't going to work on a podcast, but she does like the silent seven fingers. And she's like, yeah. It's very good. Everyone's a very good episode of Friends. Anyway.
They do that bit in the reunion.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, there's a quiz. Oh, how many erogenous zones are there?
Seven. And he needed an apartment
to touch every single one of them.
Exactly. Yeah. So aristocratic women flocked to visit him. They were aware that Rasputin had immense influence over the emperor and empress and sought to gain his favour.
Mm.
Some men even sent their wives or daughters to seduce him into putting in a good word for them at court.
What's worse, wife or daughter?
Daughter.
Gross.
So gross. Many admiring women visited him simply for sex. Lots and lots of sex. Mm. Rasputin was, by all accounts, what would be considered a sex addict now. The historian Douglas Smith said he took many lovers, was a serial groper, poured and stroked and rubbed in intimate places without asking. He loved to dance, drink, he got swept away in sensual experience, deflowered young aristocrats, and threw wild orgies that would go on for days on end.
Oh my gosh.
And all the while, lest we forget, he is married! And has 3 kids.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about that.
Yes.
Fucking hell.
St. Petersburg authorities actually sent undercover policemen to Rasputin's building, and their reports frequently described dozens of women, from prostitutes to high-ranking aristocrats, visiting his apartment.
Mm.
The police reports then went on to describe loud noises of drunken revelry, partying, beatings, violent sex,
beatings,
and orgies that lasted until sunrise and beyond. One woman claimed to have had such an intense orgasm that she fainted.
Oh, wow.
Thank God.
Doesn't sound too bad.
It could be like day five, right?
Yeah.
You've not eaten for 5 days.
I think she's done a Byron, isn't that? Yeah.
She's malnourished. She's exhausted.
Are you horny or are you hungry?
Yeah.
She's like hangry, but hungry.
She's hungry.
She's
classic. She's just a bit hungry.
Can you imagine fainting from an orgasm?
She's dropping about all over the place. Imagine. She's hungry.
So I mean, dramatic. No wonder if Rasputin can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, religious experience.
I'd probably go there if I could get that going.
What, for the stubby teeth?
Oh,
well, would you rather?
Teethy stubs. I'll have an orgasm so good you faint.
Yeah. But he has stubby black teeth. Or have bog standard, very average sex with Chris Pratt. Okay, that's my crush.
Do you fancy Chris Pratt?
Yes, but only when he's chubby in Parks and Rec. I like a dad bod. So.
I see. I fancy him. I get that.
Yeah. I don't like him muscly though.
I only like him muscly.
I go for Rasputin. Rasputin over Chris Pratt, please.
I'll take one of your finest Rasputin.
So these orgies were masked as religious experiences, obviously. Rasputin called himself the Holy Star and referred to his bedrooms as the Holy of Holies. He urged women to try the flesh. I don't actually know
what that means. Try the flesh? Well, like the flesh of Christ is that little communion wafer, no?
Oh, God.
And the wine is the blood of Christ.
What, he put a little wafer on his dick? And
I think he just came, I think he just served his dick on a platter, probably.
You got to try the flesh now.
Try the flesh.
and he'd whip them into sexual spiritual ecstasy.
Oh my God.
Women encouraged by their husbands were eager to have sex with Rasputin because they saw it as an act of redemption willed by God. Wow. I mean, that's just an excuse
for, yeah, of course it is, for an affair.
For an affair, isn't it?
A cheeky shag.
But if their husbands are up for it.
Yeah, I respect it.
Go for it, girl.
Go for it, girl.
Faint all night long.
Yeah. Maybe not all night, but no, maybe.
Okay, this is horrific. So we know a lot about his sexual antics thanks to Rasputin's daughter, Maria.
Oh, no. Shit.
Who was a dancer and a lion tamer in a circus, by the way, which is pretty cool.
Ooh. Love that for her.
She wrote a lot about her father's sex life in a biography she penned, including this. His female devotees were drawn to the worship of his phallus, endowing it with mystical qualities as well as sexual ones. For it was an extraordinary member indeed.
Whoa, why do you know that, baby girl?
Measuring a good 13 inches when fully erect.
Oh my, no, do you know what? I'm amazed he's not fainting about the place because that is a lot of
blood. That's a lot of blood to the peenie.
To the peenie.
Whoa.
Also, how do you know this, Maria?
Maria,
you should not want to know this. I mean, I don't know if you spotted him once when he was getting changed, but...
But I can't. No.
Don't share it with the world. No, don't. Don't give him that. His ego is big enough.
Oh, God. He's measuring a good 13 inches when fully erect. As their passions were aroused, there was a tendency to forget the ritualistic aspect, and the participants would fall into a general orgy.
Funny that.
Funny that.
Oh, I wonder why.
Strange that happens.
God sort of slipped my mind. This penis in my face.
13-inch flesh in front of my eyes.
Trying the flesh.
Oh, God.
Invariably, after one of these rites, my father would spend long hours in meditation and prayer. Naturally. And he would find that his concentration was undisturbed by any conflicting thoughts.
He's exhausted.
Yeah, he's exhausted from all that humping. So just so you know, I'm about to start talking about sexual assault, which obviously might be triggering for some people. So if you would like to skip this next bit, please go ahead. I'll write in the show notes how long that is so you can have a look. But it'll probably be out for the next 10 seconds, 15 seconds, something like that. Okay, bye. So despite multiple accusations of sexual assault and rape, nothing was done about it. In 1909, the nun... Khyonya Berlatskaya, who had been...
Good try.
Thanks, guys.
That was really good.
Who had been one of Rasputin's early supporters in St. Petersburg, accused him of rape.
Oh, my God.
Rumours multiplied that Rasputin had assaulted female followers and even behaved inappropriately on visits to the royal family.
Oh, no.
Particularly with the Tsar's teenage daughters, Olga and Tatiana.
No. Oh,
although many of these reports of Rasputin's crimes, including the horrific rape of the nun, Berlatskaya, although they reached Tsar Nicholas's ears, he either dismissed them out of hand or laughed them off with comments such as, "The holy are always slandered."
Oh,
really?
Just don't make excuses.
No. Yeah.
Just don't do it.
But what's the likelihood that he's doing the same fucking thing?
I'm sure.
So the holy are always slandered. The royals are always like, it's just these fucking wealthy men.
Yeah. Well, I think if they live across the law.
Yeah. And, yeah. And living
and
above
when you
the
get,
law.
When you get away with it for so long as well.
Yeah.
I just think you'd never be called out for it.
Yeah. I mean, we're living in a world back then when a woman couldn't be the heir to a throne.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
That's.
Where they were married off and fucking dowries existed.
Mm. Horrific.
So the Tsar's confessor, as in who they went to confession with, investigated the reports of Rasputin's misconduct, concluded there was truth in them, and advised Nicholas to distance himself from Rasputin.
Mm.
But Alexandra was fiercely protective of Rasputin, sided with him, and asked Nicholas to banish the confessor from St. Petersburg instead.
Oh my God.
Jesus.
Yeah. So she's like fully in that world and being a terrible woman as well.
Oh,
that internalised misogyny.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's rife.
So I've got to talk about the political social backdrop of Russia at this time, because the Romanovs' popularity was massively declining.
Wow.
No thanks to Rasputin's political guidance.
Yeah,
they blamed him. The people of Russia blamed Rasputin.
Well, did
he's just having a bloody jolly old time, isn't he? Probably not worrying about anything important.
No. just giving them terrible advice right and centre.
He had no blood in his brain. No wonder the advice was
awful. He was exhausted.
Poor chap. He was so hungry.
Yeah.
He didn't have a clue what he was saying.
No.
Not a clue. Babbling.
So in 1914, World War One breaks out. Over 15 million men join the army, which leaves a shortage of workers on the factories and farms, obviously.
Yep.
This leads to widespread shortages of food and materials. And as goods became more and more scarce, prices went through the roof, and soon famine consumed Russian cities. Anger in the lower classes spread like wildfire as factory workers were suffering 12 to 14 hour days with falling wages and unbearable health and safety provisions.
Yeah. Oh, so sad.
Labour riots and strikes broke out all across the Russian Empire, and of course they blamed the Tsar and Tsarina for the ever-growing disparity of wealth and disregard for the working class. Mm. In an attempt to win back the people's favour, Tsar Nicholas decides to go to the front line and take personal command of the army, leaving Empress Alexandra in the palace alone with Rasputin.
Ooh.
And this is when the rumours of an affair between the Empress and Rasputin spread like mad. Yeah. Which the infamous song, Rara Rasputin,
lover of the Russian queen.
Rara Rasputin, lover of the Russian queen.
Absolute banger.
Absolute banger. The original by Boney, right?
Is it?
I think so.
Oh, I wonder why. Aptly named.
Exactly.
13 inches.
Oh, God.
13 inches. Can you imagine? Like, I know. I don't want to imagine. Like, just, I need a ruler. That's too much.
Yeah. No.
That's overwhelming.
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, God.
Oh, absolutely not. I'd be making eye contact with you and everything. You would not want
Isn't 14 a foot?
Oh, my God. No. 12 inches is a foot. It's over a foot long. Imagine that. A Subway sandwich and then another inch.
Oh, God.
Oh,
no.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, God.
Oh, God. Half a Subway sandwich feels
like a lot. God, he was pooped. So he offensive. Had no blood in his head.
He was a slim man. He was like very tall, taller than average.
The poor guy was walking around lightheaded, 24 sevs.
Also, that heavy beard, that heavy head of hair.
Yeah.
That grey cloak.
Oh, yikes. Don't talk about being unwashed with him.
An unwashed 13-inch penis.
Nope. I get bad. Kegels back again.
Kegels!
So obviously the people of Russia soon pinned every calamity on Rasputin's scheming. Rasputin had no idea how to run a country, obviously, because he's a random peasant from
Sure.
Yeah. And the advice he gave to the Romanovs was beautifully followed by them, as if it were religious instructions.
Yeah.
Which obviously just ended them in disaster.
Yeah.
Many assassination attempts were made on Rasputin.
I feel like that's fair.
Yeah that's
totally
fair.
You're he's like the it. Trump of, well, maybe he's not that bad.
I don't know.
Sex offender.
Grabbing people by the pussy.
Groper, grabbing people by the pussy.
Yeah.
So many assassination... Oh, I can't say assassination.
Assassinations.
were made on Rasputin. As he was believed to be a plethora of terrible things, which he was, but on both sides. So those people that were for the empire and those against it.
They all fucking hated
him. Everyone hated Rasputin.
Across the board, 0 out of 10.
Apart from those trying his flesh. He was thought to be a spy, a charlatan, an idiot advisor running Russia into the ground, even the Antichrist, including a cloaked peasant woman dressed all in black who, believing him to be the Antichrist, stabbed him in the chest with a knife.
Oh my gosh.
He was back in his hometown and she came up to him and he thought he would often like give money to peasants because he was, you know, once a peasant. And she brought her hand out, which he thought to take money. And no, she like stabbed him in the chest several times. This old Russian woman.
Everyone knew who he was.
Everyone. He was like Beyonce. He was like a smelly, ugly, talentless Beyonce.
Wow.
Fuck.
Yeah, everyone knew who he was.
Wild.
Yeah, because all the papers as well were writing about how he was fucking the Empress and also fucking Russia.
Yeah.
He was like number one enemy of the Russian people.
He was literally splitting Russia in half, wasn't he?
Yeah. I mean, he drove a poor old woman to believe that he was an Antichrist and stab him in the chest.
Yeah. Yikes.
Yikes. So soon, the Tsar's nephew by marriage, Prince Felix Yusupov, came to the conclusion that only Rasputin's death would end his control of the Romanovs and restore the legitimacy of the Russian monarchy. So a plan was hatched, and Rasputin was lured into Yusupov's palace on the night of December 30th, 1916, on the pretext of meeting Yusupov's wife, who was interested in knowing him.
Mm.
At the palace, while waiting for Yusupov's wife to present herself.
It's really it's his downfall, it's his weakness, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the pussy.
It's the pussy.
It's the Russian pussy.
He's a sex addict.
Yeah.
He's a sex addict.
And the power of the pussy.
His poor wife. He's just watching from the sidelines as he gives everyone gonorrhea.
Oh, God.
So Rasputin was offered cakes laced with cyanide. But he ate and drank with no ill effects. He was then offered wine, which was also poisoned. He slurped it down, asked for another glass, then another one after that.
What?
Still, with no ill effects. Okay,
they need a new drug dealer. They need a new cyanide dealer.
That's tough.
One of Yusupov's co-conspirators, a doctor, had prepared each dose of cyanide very carefully to ensure that every single dose was strong enough to kill not just one, but several men.
What?
Oh my God.
So we are confirming here that he is actually...
He is actually touched by God.
Or he is the Antichrist.
Yeah. Or he's the Antichrist.
That's more likely, I imagine.
That is like fucking fantasy novel shit.
Die. Yeah. Terrified, Yusupov then retrieved a pistol and shot Rasputin in the head. Believing him dead, the conspirators then went about tidying up the scene of the crime and covering their tracks. Rasputin's body laid motionless, exactly where they had left it, but Yusupov wanted to be certain. He shook the body and didn't see any signs of life at first.
Oh my fucking God.
What?
This story is wild.
This is so wild.
Mm-hmm.
Rasputin's eyelids started to twitch.
No, they shouldn't.
That's not... He's not
deep,
happy.
Be dead.
Set eyelids.
Yes.
penetrating gaze. Yes. Twitching.
He's quite literally a zombie, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, he's literally a zombie.
Oh my gosh.
Yusupov wrote, "I then saw both eyes, the green eyes of a viper, staring at me with an expression of diabolical hatred."
Please don't.
Oh no.
Rasputin lunged at Yusupov, snarling like an animal.
What?
And digging his fingers into Yusupov's neck.
Dirty fingernails.
Sorry. Dirty long fingernails. Digging them into the neck.
He's going to give him rabies.
With his viper eyes.
Stop it.
And he's smelling like a goat.
Oh no.
Goaty breath.
Oh, his goaty, his little stumpy teeth.
Yusupov, thank God, was able to fight Rasputin off and push him away. Yusupov ran up the stairs to the first floor, yelling up to Purishkevich, to whom he had earlier given the revolver. "Quick, quick, come down! He's still alive!" he shouted.
Oh my goodness.
Purishkevich?
Yeah, he must have been like,
what?
"You're having me on."
Yeah,
whatever. You've literally killed him several times. There's no way.
You shot him in the head.
You poisoned him six times and you shot him in the head. You're having a laugh. Yeah.
You're having me on.
Honestly, it's April 1st. What is this?
It's taking.
What a joker. reaching the landing on the first floor, Purishkevich joined him, revolver in hand. Looking down the steps, they saw Rasputin clawing his way up the stairs on his hands and knees. Can you imagine the
sight? That is terrifying.
Bloody, angry Rasputin clawing his way up to you.
Ew.
That is utterly terrifying.
Wasn't going to them. He was heading toward a side door leading out into the courtyard.
Right.
This devil, who was dying of poison, who had a bullet in his heart, must have been raised from the dead by the powers of evil, Yusupov wrote. There was something appalling and monstrous in his diabolical refusal to die.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Did he though? Still alive to this day. He's just lives as the ghost trying to get you undressed. Lest we forget.
Rasputin shoved the door open and ran out into the courtyard.
You're joking.
Nope. Terrified of what would happen if Rasputin got away and returned to the Tsarina, who we know is like obsessed with the bloke.
Yeah.
The two men gave chase. Rasputin made it into the palace's courtyard before being shot and collapsing into a snowbank.
Oh, thank God for that.
He was then bound and wrapped in carpets and chains, taken to the Petrovsky Bridge, and dropped into the frozen Malaya Nevka River.
And he lived.
No.
No.
Oh my gosh.
No.
Some sources say that it appeared he had untied his hands and had begun to escape before his body was frozen.
Oh my word.
This guy just won't die. This
fucking guy.
Just die. And it's like, I bet like if they'd unthawed him, he would come back to life.
Yeah. He's actually still frozen. He's next to Walt Disney in the cryogenic freezing.
Yeah.
Wait.
Truly.
Hold on. Walt Disney.
Cryogenically frozen. Yeah.
Are you fucking joking?
So that he can be brought back to life.
What an egomaniac. So yes, he dies. He freezes to death, but not after a complete fucking crazy fest of murder and bullets and blood and
cyanide. It would be the only way that was appropriate for him to die though, right?
Yeah, totally.
That's like almost...
very on brand.
Yeah, it's kind of like feels like how you tried to kill a vampire in Twilight.
Yes!
The lengths.
You've literally got...
Or like when you're trying to get rid of a fuckboy in your life.
Oh yeah, also that.
Keep coming back.
Yeah. Oh God, yes. The power of Christ compels you.
Relentless. Yeah. So without Rasputin to blame for the mismanagement of and failures of the Russian state, the public could only blame the one person who was ultimately responsible for their suffering, Tsar Nicholas II.
Mm-hmm.
When the Russian people finally rose up in March 1917, it would not be in a patriotic defence of the Tsar, but a complete rejection of the empire. On the night of July 16th, 1918, the Romanovs were ordered to dress and go down to the cellar of the Ipatiev house, where they were lined up as if posing for a family photograph. There, they were shot by firing squad and bayoneted to death by Bolshevik troops. It is believed that only one family member survived, the daughter of the Emperor and Empress, Anastasia.
I'm with you.
Great.
Oh my God,
film.
I love that film.
So good.
So you, Hanako.
Oh yes. My God, you look like her.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah, you do, a little bit.
Oh, I love that fucking film.
I love that film.
It's incredible.
That song when she's in the
long ago.
Oh yeah,
incredible.
Oh my God. And and I love that moment where her grandma is like, "You're not Anastasia," and she doesn't believe any of the stuff that she's saying. And then she's in the room and she's like, "Peppermint," and she remembers the smell of her grandmother's peppermint perfume that's fallen on the carpet. It was, I always think of that because I always think of like my grandma and this the her smells and it's so like evocative.
It smells so evocative.
Yeah. I love that film.
It's so beautiful.
It's so good. So back to Rasputin.
Yes, that's something much less enjoyable than
oh my God, this is outrageous. So even after his death, his inexplicable sex appeal lives on in the form of a pickled penis.
No, stop it now.
Oh, I'm going there.
No.
So the first phallic object believed to be Rasputin's penis turned out to be a sea cucumber.
Isn't this in Succession? No, that was Napoleon's penis in Succession.
Wow. I mean, what? Just throw it away with the... just why? Cremate. Just cremate it all.
Why are people so obsessed with penis? Freud.
I mean, it's really... They're really not that great. They just go in and out and in and out. That's it.
Overrated.
That's so overrated.
No, I mean, honestly, I mean, wonderful things too in all their glory. But I think we do put them on a bit of a pedestal.
Yeah, I think we're a bit much.
If we're pickling them and preserving them.
Yes.
Absolutely, 100%.
And you pickle also... and preserve my...
Vulva.
My vulva.
Yeah.
Thank you. Phew, and now I can sleep at night.
Yeah, so the first one was believed to be his penis actually turned out to be a sea cucumber. But there is another less sea creature-like contender for the title.
Oh my God.
This 12-inch pickled phallus on display at the Museum of Erotica in St. Petersburg, Russia, according to its owner, Dr. Igor Knyatskin.
Sure.
I'm sorry, can I just read the spelling out?
K-N-
Y-A-Z-K-I-N.
Nope.
Knyatskin.
Sure.
Knyatskin.
Legend says that in the 1920s, Rasputin's daughter, Maria, can she just stick to the lion taming?
So this is how she knows about the peen.
I guess.
We hope.
We hope. We can only hope and pray.
Mm-hmm.
So Maria discovered a group of women in Paris that had been worshipping her father's penis.
Wow.
They believed it could bestow fertility, and they even handed out small pieces of it to those in need. They kept it preserved in an icebox, taking it out for their strange sacred rites.
Right.
Right. Maria eventually took possession of her father's penis.
Yes, naturally.
As she should.
Grabbed it.
Give me my father's penis.
Give me back my father's penis.
Give me that. That's my father's penis.
That's my inheritance.
God, this has got bizarre. I mean, I know.
Maria.
Come on.
Let it rest.
Yeah.
So she eventually takes possession of her father's penis, but when she needs the money in the 1970s, Maria sells it.
Yeah. Hey, we all got to make a buck.
Girl got to eat.
Sell that schlong.
Mm-hmm. Sell that schlong. Sure.
Dr. Knyutskin says he bought the mad monk's junk in a wooden casket.
Mad monk's junk!
Iconic. Two French antique dealers in the year 2000 for $8,000. Just buy a nice antique chair.
Yeah. A desk.
A worktop.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not the best investment I've ever heard of.
Buy a table and chairs for your garden,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Some cushions.
Or a nice oil painting of some flowers.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you want to be
artsy. Pickled Willy.
Yeah, don't buy a
pickled
Willy. Imagine
that, do come back to mind?
What, a pickled Willy for $8,000?
No.
Bargain, some would say.
Maybe.
The wrinkly specimen made its way to the collection.
Sorry.
Filth.
Yeah, the pickled penis made its way to the collection of Russia's first museum of erotica in Petersburg. A hideous hunk of greying flesh suspended in a jar of formaldehyde.
I don't feel well.
Where it still remains.
Oh, great.
Ooh,
thank God for that.
Yeah, it just like has a life of its own.
They take it out for walks. Yeah. It has a little hamster wheel.
Do you think it's a bit like the Mona Lisa and like it follows, follows you around the room?
Totally.
Oh my God, yes. The penis always.
Yeah.
So, girls, though Rasputin's 13-inch pickled pecker is now a little smaller and vinegary than it once was, Rasputin's legend grows bigger by the day.
Mm.
May you heed the warnings of this sordid tale. If a guy says his touch will bring you closer to God, run for the Siberian hills.
Yes.
Run.
And that, my friends, is the bell end of my story.
Yay!
Oh, so good.
Well done! That was brilliant.
Oh my God.
Do you know what? I didn't know any of that and I wish I still didn't. thank you so much regardless.
I'm going to show you a picture of Rasputin's penis.
Okay? No, do I? I don't think I want to see that. I feel there are some things you can't unsee. Yes.
It's absolutely disgusting, no. Isn't it?
Yeah, no more. I don't need to see a third picture. You know what? I'm good.
Look at that pale bell end.
Oh God, I hate it. Make it end. Make it stop.
Oh my God, he's still got the pubes in.
Oh my God. Okay, Hanukkah, I'm actually shutting this. Thank you.
Attraction, repulsion. Am I right?
Fine line.
Oh dear Lord.
Yes, I know.
But well done.
Such a good story.
What a fuck boy. A fuck boy. Oh my God. The way in which he was taking advantage of, I guess, like people being in really vulnerable positions from the state of their country where they live.
That and then using his power to get all these gals around his flat in St. Petersburg so he can throw wild orgies and touch them into religious ecstasy.
Horrendous.
And he looks like a troll.
Yeah, he's absolutely vile.
Honestly, how do these disgusting men get women? You have to use fuckboyery, clearly.
I guess I still don't really understand. I mean, I do understand, I guess, because, you know, like, you're a woman in Russia at that time. The only power that you can gain is through the men that are above you.
That's so true.
And so you've got to, if you want any kind of social movement,
you've got to have it through your husband, your partner, your boyfriend, whatever.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter what they look like.
Yeah, true that.
Yeah.
True that.
Which there's that. There's also the thing of he's like a religious figure. They literally tell you that if you fuck them, you'll become enlightened. Which, like, what else? Like, there's no telly.
No.
Yeah.
Back then, like, what else? What are you gonna do? Read War and Peace? Like, that's a big book.
Well, bloody done, Hanukkah.
But that's so the thing. Good. If he was a woman,
he would be burned
at the stake.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
But because he's a dude.
Everyone fucks
he's
him.
He's worshipped and constant. Sex.
And all he did was stopped a little boy from having a bruise.
A big bruise, though, Hannah.
Big bruise, to be fair.
Yeah, it could have killed him. But, like, you know, doesn't mean he has to give you political advice on how to run the country.
The next few years are pretty dramatic response to, like...
Yeah, it feels like... I feel like we're really celebrating him more than
than we should. Okay, it was a little miracle.
You could send him a gift basket and it would have sufficed.
All right.
You could have sent him a gift basket and that would have sorted you right out. You didn't need to let him fuck half of Russia. Truly.
Get and that is some new clothes.
And that is Nana's advice.
That's Nana's advice. Thank you, Nana.
Thank you, Nana.
Yeah, I could have paid for a haircut, bought him new clothes.
Give him a shower, dunked him in that big bucket of water.
Sent him to the dentist.
All of those things.
All of the above.
Wonderful job. Thank you so much for the enlightenment.
My pleasure.
That's enlightenment. Fuck Rasputin.
Mm-hmm. Fuck Rasputin. No, don't fuck Rasputin.
No,
fuck Rasputin.
Yeah.
Don't. Exactly. Don't
do sorry.
Oh, gross.
Thank you so much for listening. All of our links for our resources are in the show notes. Please do check them out.
Next week, we're going from...
La, ra, Rasputin, la, ra, the Russian Queen,
to...
Avengers Assemble! You can tell I've not watched many of them.
So there we are going to be delving into superhuman levels of fuckboyery.
In the Avengers. And in the meantime, you can help us by rating us and following us at the F-Boy Podcast wherever you're listening.
And you can find even more fuckboyery on Instagram and Twitter at F-Boy Podcast.
Or at fboypodcast.com, where you can send us your very own fuckboy stories.
Please do. Your stories are so good. We want to hear them all.
Special thanks to our brilliant producers at Audio Boom.
So watch out, Iron Man, Cap and Black Widow.
We're coming for you.